I want to talk to you. I really feel from the Lord this morning to talk to us this morning about when Jesus shuts his mouth. When Jesus shuts his mouth. I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, we're going to start with verse 6. Verse 6 says, when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he heard that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him. And he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but Jesus answered him nothing. And the chief priests and the scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him in naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. Let's just pray this morning. Lord, we love you today. Father, can't say it enough. Father, we love you this morning and we are so grateful for your goodness. We are so grateful for your faithfulness to us, Lord. Father, we are so grateful that we can come into the presence, into your presence so freely because of the blood of Jesus Christ, and that we can with all boldness lift our hands and lift our hearts and worship you, God, and just give you the honor and the glory that you are so rightfully deserving of. And Father, I pray for this word. God, this is your word to our hearts. God, over the last few weeks, last month, Lord, you've been really challenging our hearts, speaking challenging things into our hearts. And I thank you for that, God. I thank you for your seasons of comfort that you bring to us, your seasons of encouragement that you bring to our hearts. But God, I also thank you for those seasons, Lord, when you just challenge us. God, when you make us really, cause us to really take a good look at where we are in our relationship with God. And I thank you for that, Lord. Father, it all comes out of the loving heart of God. Lord, you so love your people. You so love your church. And God, it's that love in your heart that causes you to open up your treasure chest of truth, God. And this morning, this is what we have. We have truth from your word. And God, it is priceless to our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your faithfulness to us. God, give us ears to hear the word of the Lord this morning. Let it speak to our hearts. And we just give you glory. And we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Look with me at verse 8 again. I just want to read just part of verse 8 again. And it says, and when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him. So let me just begin by saying that in this verse, Herod sees Jesus, and he's very glad to see Jesus. That King Herod has heard many phenomenal things about Jesus, and there's just an anticipation in his heart. Well, now here's my chance to see a miracle. Here's my chance to see the supernatural. This man is a great performer of miracles. I've heard so many phenomenal things about what he has done. And now is my chance to see a miracle. And brothers and sisters, I really feel led by the Lord just to bring it out this way, what we read about Herod here. Herod is a man that the Bible says that he's in the presence of the Lord. What I want us to see here, what I want us to understand here, is that Herod, though he doesn't realize it, he's in the presence of God. He's in the presence of the Word of God. He's in the very presence of the one that spoke. And by his word, he created the heavens and the earth. He's in the presence of the living God. And the Bible says that as he's in the presence of the living God, that there is a gladness in his heart. That there's a joy in his heart. This is what the word says. He was exceeding glad to see him. And brothers and sisters, Herod is a picture of many, many people that are in the church. Now let me explain what I mean by that. Herod is standing in the very presence of the Lord. And there is a gladness in his heart because he sees Jesus. But what we need to realize this morning is that this gladness and this joy in his heart is a worldly joy. It's a worldly gladness. It's not that true joy of the Lord that comes to your heart when you're truly standing in the presence of God. And there's that intimate connection with God. When your heart and his heart meet together. It's not that joy that comes out of that time when you're in that place of adoring the Lord. No, this is a worldly joy that's in his heart. It's a worldly gladness. Why? Because, brothers and sisters, Herod is a lover of self and he's not a lover of God. Herod is a man who is king in the earth and he has no desire to come off his throne. He has no desire to lay down his crown and truly come under the lordship of Jesus Christ. There's nothing in his heart that does that. Herod is a man, he's a king in the earth, and he loves the power that it gives him. He loves to see men bow before him. He loves to give commands and see people fulfill those commands. That Herod is a lover of self, and he's not truly a lover of God. He's a lover of self because there's nothing in his heart that truly desires to come under the lordship of Jesus Christ. There's nothing in his heart. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to say this morning, in humility of heart, but I want to say it in the boldness of the Holy Spirit, in the authority of the Holy Spirit this morning, that there are many, many, many Herods in the Church of Jesus Christ this morning. Many Herods in this church. What do I mean by that? Well, there's many people. We've come into church, we go to church on Sunday, we're in the presence of the Lord, and there is a gladness that comes to the heart. But brothers and sisters, it's not the true joy of the Lord. It's not that true joy of when we come to church and we're in the presence of the Lord and there's that intimate connection with God. It's not that true joy that comes when the faith of God rises in the heart. It's a worldly joy. It's that joy that comes because maybe we're with friends and people that we haven't seen all week. And it's that joy that comes when we begin to lift our human spirit up to the Lord in song, singing with the people of God. But the true joy of the Lord is missing. That joy that comes out of that obedience, that joy that comes out of that intimacy, that true intimacy with God, that's the joy that's missing. Why? Let me tell you why. Because there are many people, and I speak this in humility of heart, but I have to say it by the Lord. Because there's many people that come to church, and we come to church, but they've never truly laid that self-life down on the altar. They've never truly come off that throne of self. Yes, they come to church, but they live the whole lives for that self-life and for self. Brothers and sisters, there's not a true desire in the heart to deny ourselves, to deny our desires, to deny our agendas, and go after the Lord. There are many people, brothers and sisters, in the house of the Lord this morning. They've never made that altar in their heart, truly made that altar in their heart, where they prayed that prayer with all sincerity. Lord, what is your will for my life? Lord, I so long that you be glorified in my life. I so long that you be glorified through my life. God, what is your will for my life? Lord, whatever it costs, Lord, whatever I have to put on the altar, God, whatever I have to nail to the cross, God, I'm willing to do it. Lord, because my desire of my heart is you and glorifying you. Brothers and sisters, there's many people sitting in church today who've never really made that altar in their heart and laid down this self-life. So whatever joy, whatever gladness they have when they come to church, it's not truly the joy of the Lord. Whatever gladness we have in our Christian life, it's not truly the joy of the Lord. It's not that joy that comes out of that intimacy that leads to that life of obedience. It's a worldly joy. Many, many, many have not made that altar in their heart and truly surrendered everything that God might live his life in and through my life. So look with me again at verse 8. It says, and when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad. For he was desirous to see him of a long season because he heard many things of him. And he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. So this is the reason why there's a gladness in Herod's heart. Jesus is standing before him, and he has heard that he is a great miracle worker. And he just wants to see a miracle. That's the gladness in his heart. I believe the gladness in Herod's heart caused Herod to say something like this: Jesus, I heard you're a great miracle worker. Jesus, I heard that you opened the eyes of the blind. Jesus, I heard that you cleansed lepers by just laying your hand upon them. Jesus, somebody told me, a lot of people told me, that there was a time you walked upon the water. Jesus, I heard that you broke a few fish and loaves and you fed over 5,000 people. Jesus, I want to see a miracle. And this is my point, and it's a very simple point, but it's a very true point. That, brothers and sisters, there are so many people that they've never truly made that altar in their heart. They're still living that life of self. Never truly surrendered that self-life to find out what God's will is and what God's plan is. And there's many people like this, and they're longing, one of the most greatest longings in their heart, in their Christianity, is to see Jesus perform miracles. To see miracles. There's a longing in the heart to see miracles. Oh, if we could just see miracles again. If this could just be the day of miracles again. Please hear my heart, brothers and sisters. There's nothing wrong with desiring to see miracles. There's nothing wrong with desiring to see Jesus glorified through miracles. But in this case, we're talking about many people that have never come off that throne of self, laid that self-life on the altar. The longing of the heart is, oh, if we could just see the day of miracles again. Oh, if we could just see the miracles of Jack Cole and Gail Jackson and Oral Roberts and Smith Wiggles. Oh, if the day of miracles would come again. Oh, if God would just come to our church and just blow everyone away by performing miracles and supernatural signs and wonders and healings and deliverance. Oh, that God would do this. Brothers and sisters, there's many people. They talk, we're talking about those that are just not given everything to the Lord. They talk so much about miracles. They talk about the miracles of the past, or they talk about some kind of supernatural manifestation that they've seen in somebody's meeting. But here's the thing. Their heart cannot be stirred by truth. Their heart cannot be stirred by truth. They've never truly come under the Lordship of Christ because they don't desire to. And so there's no hunger in their heart for truth. There's no desire in the heart for truth. So their heart can't be stirred by truth. Let me tell you something. A man, a preacher of God, can be in the pulpit with a glorious anointing upon him. And he can be pouring out the Lord's heart and unveiling the Lord's heart. He can be, by the anointing of the Spirit, bringing such life out of the Word of God. And yet they will sit there and look at their watches. And watch their watches, because there's somewhere else they would rather be than sitting under truth and allowing anointed truth in their heart. Brothers and sisters, in all reality, the reason why we can do this is because we're bored with truth. I believe with all my heart the reason why so many people in the body of Christ, in the church, want to see miracles is because they're bored with truth. They're bored with truth. There's something in their heart that says, you know, I'm not hungry for truth. I don't desire truth. So God, give us miracles. Desire miracles, but bored with truth. Bored with truth. Don't have the capacity to be stirred by truth. Look with me at verse 9. Then Herod questioned with Jesus in many words, but he answered him nothing. So the Bible says that Herod is asking Jesus many questions. There's things he's heard Jesus say, and there's many things that he heard Jesus did. And so there are just things on his heart that he wants to know. There are things on his heart that he's asking Jesus. But brothers and sisters, here's the thing. He doesn't desire truth. He doesn't desire to open his heart and allow the Lord to speak his mind and his heart and to receive it in his heart. Beloved, this man wants to see the glory of God. But he doesn't want to hear the one message that will bring the glory of God. He wants to see the glory of God. He wants to see this kingdom of God manifested with great power. But he doesn't want to hear the one message that unveils the glory of God every time in the church of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. What is the one message that unveils the glory of God to God's church? What is the one message that will always bring the glory of God to his church? Well, let me show it to you. I want you to put your marker in Luke 23 and go with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Look with me at verse 28. Verse 28 says, and it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there were two men with him, talked with him, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. So Jesus takes Peter, James, and John with him up on top of a mountain. And the Bible says that as he's praying, the very glory of God began to illuminate out of Christ. That, brothers and sisters, Jesus is God. And as he's praying, the very glory of God begins to illuminate in and through him. And the Bible says that two saints in their glorified state, their heavenly state, come to talk to Jesus. And that's Elijah and Moses, and they're encouraging Jesus and they're strengthening Jesus. And here's the question I want to ask. Listen, the top of this mountain is illuminated, saturated, penetrated by the very glory of God. And what is the one thing that they're talking about? Well, I want you to look with me again at verse 31. Verse 31 says, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. What are they talking about? They're talking about the cross. What is the message that will always bring the glory of God to his church? It's the message of the cross. It's the message of loving God with all of your heart and your life and laying self down upon an altar and letting God live his heart, letting God live his life in and through you. The glory of God comes upon that heart that says, you know what? I'm bought with a price. My life is not my own anymore. Not my will be done, but your will be done, God. Lord, I'm willing to lay everything on an altar, Lord, that you can live your life. You can live your heart. You can live your plan through my life. That is the message that will bring the glory of God to his church every time. Brothers and sisters, Herod wanted to see the glory of God, but he didn't want the cross. Herod wanted to see the glory of God, but he didn't want Jesus to open his mouth and begin to talk to him about the crucified life. So now Herod is having to stand in the presence of a silent Christ. And because Jesus is silent, because Jesus will not open his mouth, there is no unveiling of the glory of God. There's no unveiling of the kingdom of God. There's no unveiling of the heart of God because he's standing before a silent Christ. He wants miracles and the supernatural, but his heart doesn't hunger for truth. And so he stands before a silent Christ. And look with me again. Go with me right back to Luke chapter 23. Look with me again. At verse 9. Then Herod questioned with him in many words. But Jesus answered him nothing. In other words, brothers and sisters, Jesus wasn't going to waste his breath. He wasn't going to waste his breath. This man Herod wanted to be entertained by miracles. And brothers and sisters, I want to say it again. There are many people in the church that never laid that self-life on the altar. And they want to be entertained by miracles. They want to be entertained by the supernatural. They want to be entertained by all these things, but their heart doesn't desire truth. There are many houses of worship where the people come in and their hearts really don't desire truth. Their hearts really don't desire to hear truth. And so they stand in the presence of a silent Christ. There is no open word from heaven. There is no open vision from heaven. There is no real truth that's going forth from the pulpit and penetrating hearts. It's because they have no open heaven. And because they have no open heaven, there is no true presence of God. There is no true glory of God filling people's hearts. There is no true holy anointing upon a holy people. Because there really is no heart and no desire for truth. So they have no open heaven. Okay, they have no open heaven, then what do they have? I'll tell you what they have. They have a lot of entertainment. They have a lot of emotionalism. They have a lot of energy. But they're missing the very life of God. They're missing the very life of God. They're standing in the presence of a silent Christ because there's no hunger in their heart for truth. I want to show you a promise. I want to show you a promise that the Lord gives to all of His people and all of His houses of worship that truly love the Lord and desire to be led and governed by His Holy Spirit. Again, put a marker one more time in Luke chapter 23. And I want you to go with me to 1 Kings chapter 18. Luke chapter 23, put your marker there. Go with me to 1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to read with verse 25 to 29. Then we're going to jump down to verse 36. So start with me at verse 25. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it and called on the name of Baal from morning, evening, even until noon, saying, oh, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he sleepeth, and now he's awakened, must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. Look with me at verse 36. And it came to pass at that time of the offering, evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art in Israel, that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. You need to mark that in your heart. And that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Brothers and sisters, here's the question that I want to ask this morning. Just these few verses that we read. What is the difference between the false prophets of Baal and Elijah? What's the difference between the false prophets of Baal and Elijah? Let me tell you what the difference is. The false prophets of Baal are trying to move their God. And Elijah is being moved by God. Let me say it again. The false prophets of Baal are trying to move their God. And Elijah is being moved by God. And here's the promise to all the Lord's people, to all of His houses of worship. It's simply this. Listen, if you will truly love me with all of your heart, and if you will live in a place where you can be led and governed by the Spirit, if you will move in obedience to the Spirit of God, you will never have to toil in the flesh to try to bring my presence down in my house. You'll never have to toil in the flesh to try to bring the glory of God down in my house. You'll never have to toil in the flesh to bring my anointing and my strength down in my house, because I am so willing to open heaven and pour my blessing out upon my people when they have a heart to pray and seek me and move in obedience to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. When you love God and you're walking in obedience to the Lord, you will never have, as a church, you will never have to resort to worldly methods to try to capture men's interest in the things of God. You'll never have to do that. You'll never have to come up with worldly programs and put together Super Bowl Sunday, football Sundays, and bring all these things in the house of God to draw the masses. You'll never have to do that. Because I'm telling you, when you love God and you're walking in obedience to God, God will open heaven. He will pour out His Spirit, and hearts will be arrested and lives will be changed by the power of the Holy Ghost. The reason why we're bringing all this stuff into our church, you want to know why, is because we lost the anointing of God. We lost the presence of God. That's why we're leaning on programs and looking to programs. But I'm telling you, as a pastor, God keeps putting it on my heart. He's saying, Tim, stay away from programs. Stay away from activities. Nothing wrong with that. But you stay with prayer. You stay with the Word of God. And you trust that when people have an encounter with the Holy Ghost, they will be changed. They'll be changed. In Israel, the reason why they was eating dove's dung is because they lost the glory of God. And when you lose the glory of God, then you start turning to filth. And that's the reason why we bring Christian rock bands into our church and we put up the smoke machines and we try to use some kind of worldly thing. That's the reason why we turn to the world's filth, because somewhere we lost the anointing and the glory of God. But I'm telling you, when you love God with all your heart, you don't sit in church and tolerate apathy and indifference in your heart. You love Him with all of your heart, and you let Him challenge your heart and confront your heart, because you want your heart to be on fire for God. I'm telling you, when you have that kind of people in a house, there will be an open heaven and the glory of God will fill that house, and you will see people's lives change by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn to filth because we lost the glory. But I'm telling you, when the people that love God and they live on their knees because they know unless you build a house, we labor in vain. And they pray and seek God. I'm telling you, the glory of God will be in that house. And you don't have to turn to the world's filth to try to pull a crowd. Amen. I just want what's real. I just want what's real. It's a wonderful promise. You'll always have an open heaven, and the fire and the glory will fall when you live in a place where God can move you. Amen. This isn't on my notes. I'm just going with the Lord now. You know, you go into many houses of worship, and I'm telling you, there's a lot of emotion and a lot of energy and a lot of hype going on. And you ask them, what are you doing? Well, we're trying to move the Spirit. We got to move the Spirit. Need to move the Spirit. I'm telling you, you don't need to move the Spirit. You just need to live in the place where the Holy Spirit can move you. In obedience. And you'll see the glory of God. Go with me right back to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Do you love the Lord this morning? Do you love His Word this morning? Amen. So look with me at verse 11. So Jesus doesn't speak. Herod's in the presence of a silent Christ. Start with verse 10. And the chief priests and scribes stood vehemently, accused Him. And Herod with his men of war set Him at naught, and mocked Him, and arrayed Him in a gorgeous robe, and sent Him again to Pilate. Verse 11 is what I'm looking at. I believe verse 11 truly reveals what is in Herod's heart. Truly reveals the contents of his heart. According to verse 11, what is in Herod's heart? What is the contents of Herod's heart? Let me tell you what it is. It's mockery toward God's and the things of God. In his heart, he lightly esteems. He even in his heart, he mocks God and the things of God. And brothers and sisters, there's many ways that I can bring this out, but the one way I really feel by the Lord this morning to bring this out is simply this. What is the one area that so many people in the Lord's house lightly esteem? Maybe even in their heart they might even have sarcasm and mockery. What is the one area that so many people in the Lord's house lightly esteem? Let me tell you, it's God's established authority. It's God's church leadership. It's God's pastors, those that He's planted in His church as authority. There are so many that have not really come under spiritual authority. They don't want to come under. They want authority. They don't want to come under spiritual authority. Brothers and sisters, I'm sure if Jesus, when He was standing in front of Herod, if Jesus' disciples would have been with Jesus, I'm sure if Jesus looked at Herod and then pointed at His disciples and said, very soon, when I'm gone, this is going to be my pastors. These are going to be my leaders. These are going to be the spiritual authority that I place in my church. I'm sure Herod would have looked at these men and been offended. He would have said, you mean you want me to lay down my crown and come off my throne and come under these men's authority in your church? Are you kidding? Are you nuts? Simple, common, ignorant fishermen? And here I am, king of the land. He would have been offended. And he would not have wanted to come under that authority. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people in the Lord's house, they just don't want to come under spiritual authority. You know, I was talking to an old pastor, an old saint of God, a wonderful man of God that was walking, that has walked with the Lord many years. And he told me a sad story. He told me about a man 5 years ago that got saved in his church, gloriously saved. He was saved. And he had been in that church for 5 years. But instead of growing in the Lord, he became a wolf. What is a wolf? He became a man that would murmur and complain and backbite and gossip about the pastor behind the pastor's back, sowing poison into other people's hearts, other members' hearts. He was a wolf. And when the pastor finally figured out what he was doing, he confronted the man. The man left. But the sad thing is, when the man left, there were families that went with him, that left with him. Why? Because they were poisoned by this wolf. I mean, this pastor is a wonderful man of God. Trust me, I know him very, very well. A wonderful man of God. And this wolf rose up and poisoned people and took people out of the flock because this man was a wolf. And I began to pray. I began to seek the Lord. I mean, it was really bothering me. And I said, God, how can a man get gloriously saved, but somewhere in his walk with God, how can he become a wolf? And this is what the Lord spoke very plainly to my heart. The Lord said, Tim, it's because he never came under the authority of his pastor. He never came under the spiritual authority of his pastor. Tim, he never recognized in his heart that this man may not be a perfect man, but he's a man that has walked with God many years. There are things that he can teach me, and he is God's established authority in the church. And when God establishes authority, he plants me there. He expects me to come under authority. But there was a pride in his heart. There was a pride in this man's heart that tried to put himself in the same place of authority as the pastor in this church, and he became a wolf. And I'm telling you with all my heart, when God plants you under a pastor, when he plants you under a covering, the Lord expects his people to come under that authority, to open their hearts to not only receive the pastor's edification and comfort and exhortation, but to also receive the reproof and the admonition and even the rebuke. But there are many in the church, they don't want to come under authority, they want authority. And they lightly esteem the things of God. But I'm telling you, by the authority of the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, listen, when you lightly esteem God's spiritual authority, you are lightly esteemed by God. God begin that you have no authority in heaven, there's no authority in your prayers. I'm telling you, I've learned that, something the Lord has taught me. I believe with all my heart there are people in the church and their marriages are in a mess, relationships with their husband and wife in a mess, and they're praying and praying and praying and saying, God, why aren't you answering my prayers? And God is saying, because you have no authority with me, I have a controversy with you. You have no authority in your prayers because you refuse to come under authority. Why should the devil turn and run when you say, I rebuke you, devil, when you yourself are in rebellion to God's authority? He lightly esteemed. He mocked Jesus. That was what was in his heart. And because of it, there was no open heaven. There was no truth, and only truth can set you free. Amen. I'm telling you, he wanted supernatural manifestations, but supernatural manifestations weren't going to set him free. He wanted to see Jesus walk on water, but Jesus just walking on water wasn't going to set him free. What was going to set him free was the words that was going to come out of Jesus' mouth if he had a heart to hear truth. That's why we have so many people. They want miracles and supernatural manifestations and all these things, but they're not free. No hunger for truth. Now, brothers and sisters, I know... I'm preaching this morning a very heart-searching word. But we need to hear it. I'm telling you, apathy and indifference, complacency is eating the church up like a spiritual cancer. And there is only one place to be in our hearts with Jesus. We know he doesn't want us cold. He says in Revelations, if you're lukewarm, straddling the fence, you turn my stomach. There's only one other place to be, and that is sold out. Fully, wholly in love and giving to Jesus because he's worthy. How can you not look to the cross and see the price that he paid for our salvation? And say he's not worthy. He is worthy of everything on the altar. Everything. This morning I want to close with a good note. I want to close with just a wonderful promise to the people of God. I want you to go with me to the book of John chapter 1. Wonderful promise to the people of God. Look with me at verse 44. Now Philip was at Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith to him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Brothers and sisters, what I want to recognize is this. What a contrast between Herod's meeting with Christ and Nathanael's meeting with Christ. Herod came away from his meeting with Christ greatly disappointed. Horribly disappointed. He was wanting to see miracles. He was wanting to see signs and wonders. In other words, he was really wanting to see the kingdom of God with power. But he saw nothing. And he left his meeting with Christ disappointed. But on the other hand, you have Nathanael. Nathanael left his meeting with Christ, his first meeting with Christ, with even a greater promise in his heart. Nathanael, you think you saw something? Nathanael, you haven't seen anything yet. I'm telling you, if you will love me and walk with me, Nathanael, you're going to have an open heaven and you're going to see a greater and greater and greater revelation of the kingdom of God with power. You're going to see, Phil, you're going to see, Nathanael, a greater and greater unveiling of the glory of God. He came away with such a wonderful promise from Jesus. Jesus is saying, this kingdom that I preach, this kingdom that I talk about, the kingdom of God, as you walk with me, you're going to have your eyes of your heart open, and you're going to see the glory of Christ. You're going to see the glory of Christ. You're going to see this kingdom come with great glory and power. That's what Jesus is saying. But here's the question we have to ask. What is the difference between Nathanael and what is the difference between Herod? Well, look with me at verse 45. Verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found of him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. What was the difference? Philip was searching for the Messiah of the scriptures. Philip was searching the scriptures, the law, the prophets, the writings of Moses, because he wanted to know the Messiah of the scriptures. What was burning in Nathanael's heart was simply this. The Messiah that's revealed in the scriptures, the Word of God, that's the Messiah I want to walk with. That's the Messiah I want to know. That's the Messiah. Listen, I don't want to conform him into what is in my heart. I want to be conformed into what is in his heart. The truths of his word, I want his truths living in my heart. I want to know these truths. I want to be changed by these truths. These truths that are in the Word of God regarding my Messiah, that's what I want in my heart. Brothers and sisters, he didn't want to conform Jesus into what was in his heart. He wanted to be conformed to what was in Christ's heart. Brother, and when you look at the scriptures, this man, Nathanael, is not perfect. Can anything good come out of Galilee? That sounds like prejudice to me. But here's the thing. Yes, he had issues in his heart that needed to be dealt with, but he wanted to be confronted by truth. He wanted to be changed by truth. And the Lord is saying, Nathanael, because you desire truth, you're seeking after truth in the Word of God. You desire to be confronted and changed by truth. Nathanael, I promise you an open heaven where you will see the kingdom of God in an ever-increasing measure open before your very eyes. You will see an ever-increasing glory of God, the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, that's a promise for every believer in every church, that if you will just love me with all of your heart, not just in word, everybody says, I love you, Jesus. Everybody lifts their hands and sings sweet little love songs to Jesus at times of worship. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you really love me with all of your heart and your heart so desires truth. I'm telling you, that church will have an open heaven and there will be an increasing, greater and greater revelation of the glory of Christ. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but I'm hungry for the Lord. In these last days, the cry of my heart is more than anything else. I want to see Jesus glorified in my generation. Doesn't matter what I have to put on the altar. By the grace of God, I can put it on the altar. Doesn't matter what I have to nail to the cross. By the grace of God, I can nail it to the cross. But God, be glorified in my life, in my generation, in the earth. And I believe that's a people God's looking for. That's a people he's looking for. A people that are hungry for truth. A people that truth is the most priceless thing in their life. That you can take all the worldly things, all the worldly material things of this earth and say, here, I'll trade you for truth. No way. Truth is the priceless treasure of my heart. You can have this world and all its earthly things and material things, but I want truth. I want this Jesus because truth is his heart. He is truth. And that's the people God says, I will be glorified in the earth. You will have an open heaven and have such a revelation of the glory of God and the kingdom of God with power. But everything rides on this one thing. What are you hungry for? I'm hungry for truth. Really? You haven't cracked your Bible open all week. Amen. And you're hungry for truth? I'm hungry to know this God. Really? You haven't spent any time with me in prayer in days. And you're telling me you're hungry for the Lord? Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, when you're truly hungry for the Lord and you're truly hungry for truth, that hunger will take you into this thing, Bible, every day. every day.